Welcome to week two of My Camino. I'm Dan Mullins and it's great to have your company. This is a weekly podcast introducing you to people who have walked the Camino de Santiago, the Way of St. James in northeastern Spain. Pilgrims have walked the journey for well over 1,000 years. And each week, I'll profile someone from a different part of the world. Tonight, it's two Canadians I met when I walked the Camino earlier this year. Doug and Miles are on the line from Winnipeg, which I'm told is God's country. So we'll have to find out why they went halfway around the world on a path, a journey some say helps them find God.
Yeah,
hi, Dan.
Hi, Dan. Great to be here. Great to talk to you again. Nice to hear your voice.
Yeah, you too. We had quite the time, didn't we?
Oh, we did indeed. You know, it was an unbelievable experience, something that I could never have envisioned in my life.
A fine time, Dan.
Yeah, it was. So tell us a little bit about yourselves. You're old friends. You've known each other for a long time. You're from the town of Winnipeg in the state of Manitoba, right in the heart of Canada.
Yeah, that's right, Dan. Miles and I have known one another for some time, but truly it was the Camino that brought us together. It was something that we had both wanted to do for quite some time, something very close to both of us, and through a mutual friend found out that we both had this desire to walk the Camino, it's brought us together as close friends.
So, I mean, in terms of where we are, yeah, we're in Winnipeg, which is really almost at the geographical center of Canada, probably the spiritual center of Canada. You know, we're at, about 50 degrees north, and it's extremely cold in the winter and extremely hot in the summer. It's a city of about a little over 500,000 people, about 600,000-700,000. It's where it's where I grew up. Doug grew up a little bit outside of Winnipeg, but where we spent a good part of our lives.
Yeah, we're on Treaty 1 land, the land of the Anishinaabe and the Métis people. We're in the center of Turtle Island, the spiritual center for Indigenous people in North America, and I think they would say the world.
You walked as a group of three. The third musketeer, Kevin, isn't with us tonight. Let's go through a few of the facts and figures. Where did you start your Camino?
Well, we started our Camino in Spain, in León. I mean, that's where we had planned to start that, but we really started our Camino in Dublin.
Miles had a connection with Ireland, and he really wanted to start at St. James's Gate in Dublin, so we agreed. We thought for our friend, we had better go there and put our. That's where our footsteps on the Camino began.
Yeah, but that St. James's Gate is also known as something else, isn't it?
It's known as the Guinness. The it is the it's where they manufacture the Guinness. It's the Guinness storehouse. It's where we got our first stamp and wetted our whistle and fortified ourselves for the long walk ahead.
It really marked your credential for the long walk ahead. So how long did it take you to walk from León to Santiago?
So it was 14 days of walking from León. And I'd say that was pretty solid walking each day. We averaged, I'd say, about 25K a day.
Mm-hmm.
That was about our average walk.
And how much did you carry, Miles?
Well, I think technically, it was probably close to 20 pounds. It felt most days like it was 40 or 50 pounds.
What about you, Doug? How much did you take?
Yeah, I was in about the 20 pound range as well. And as Miles said, a lot of days I'd felt a lot heavier.
I remember speaking with somebody who was carrying about 20 kilograms, so about 40 pound.
Wow.
And she said to me, oh, look, it's like the rest of my life. I'm carrying too much baggage. There's a message, right? There's a message there, isn't there?
There is a message.
Yeah, you really don't need to carry much, and especially at the time of a year that we went, which was in August, the beginning of August, which is the height of summer. We really needed to carry very little. But not knowing, it was our first time on the Camino. None of us had done that journey before, so we're packing, for all kinds of weather, all kinds of contingencies. But I guess the other thing is there are facilities. You're never very far from the next village, and there's all kinds of shops and stores along the way. There's no need to carry any disposable things like soaps deodorant, toothpaste, anything like that. You can get that all along the way.
So, Doug, what if I asked you, what could you have left behind?
Oh, I think I could have left about 8 pounds of gear behind. A sleeping pad, which we knew we were going at the height of the pilgrim season, and we just weren't sure if we would be able to find a bed. So I remember taking a sleeping bag, which I never used once. Some extra clothes, a pair of pants, a couple of pairs of shorts, a couple of long sleeve T-shirts. You really don't need very much at all. But it is hard to leave those material things behind. You always think that you're going to need a little bit more. A bar of soap, a towel is all you really need to take. Toothbrush and some toothpaste and, anything else you can really leave behind.
I found that when you arrived at the albergue each evening, and I'm certain that your routine was exactly the same, is it? Because all the pilgrims are exactly the same, that you got there, had a quick shower, quickly washed your hand, washed, as all the pilgrims do, hand washed your clothes, hung them out, and you changed back into those the next day. So really, you only ever needed one change of clothes.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That was all that was necessary at all. I agree with Doug. I had all kinds of, rain gear and an extra pair of running shoes. We had started in Dublin, and a balmy day in Dublin is 18 degrees Celsius. Yeah. So we had packed for that, and we didn't have the opportunity to dump things. But I did along the way. I left a sleeping pad. I left extra heavy socks that I'd brought that I thought I needed. So some of those things, if you bring those things, you can leave those things anywhere along the way. At any of the albergues, they're happy to get any of the extra gear that you can't use.
Yeah, that's interesting you should say that, because my next question is, what did you wish you'd taken with you? Doug?
Two mornings, I really wish I would have taken a headlamp. I did have a small flashlight, for getting up at night in the albergue or whatever, but we to try and beat the heat, we would leave early, and on a couple of occasions, leaving in the morning when it was dark, coming across a fairly rough trail in the mountains, it would have really been nice to have a headlamp. But really, that's about the only thing I wish I would have brought, and I would have used that maybe on two occasions.
Miles?
Yeah, I think, I had a ball cap. I would have brought a broad-brimmed cap. The sun was very intense. I was very grateful to Camino Angel, a fellow along the way. One of the hottest days we were out, I think we were walking to Astorga, and we stopped for water. We found a place for water, and a kind old gentleman gave me a straw hat that I wore faithfully all the rest of the way. So,
your sombrero.
Yes. So
do you still have it?
I left that behind in San Diego along with my boots.
So there you go, really?
I did for the next any other pilgrims that might come along the way.
Oh, that's fantastic, because when I met you, that was the day after you'd received the hat from the Camino Angel, and it was hot. It was very hot.
It was hot. It was absolutely.
And there's an intensity in that sunlight that really you can't put into words, and unless you've experienced it, it's a sun that you want to get out from under.
It is indeed, yeah.
You really need that broad-brimmed hat.
Yeah.
Now, it's often called a spiritual or mystical journey, the Camino. So what was your motivation for undertaking this pilgrimage? Can I ask you, Doug?
Yeah, I've had an incredibly wonderful life, Dan. I've never wanted for anything. I've been surrounded by beautiful people my entire life. And I think it was an opportunity just to walk and to count my blessings, be aware of my blessings, give prayers of thanks, as well as just celebrate the joy of all those blessings that have been showered on me, and that was really what motivated me. Some time with friends, time to reflect, a time to give thanks was really what motivated me to do the walk.
And did you find then, when you finished, did you find a sense of resolution? Had you achieved what you sought then?
Yeah, every day, Dan, and I'm so happy. It was really one of the, you know, the great pleasures of my life to be able to walk the Camino. I felt blessed every day, every step. I'm so grateful for having had the opportunity to do that. I have a daughter who's going to be turning 14, and I would really like to go back to Spain with her in a year or two and just introduce her to the Camino and so that and do a part of the walk with her. It's really meant a lot to me.
So, Miles, can I ask you then, what was your motivation? Was it spiritual? Was it mystical?
Yeah, I mean, definitely spiritual. I mean, for the past many years, I followed kind of an Eastern path, Buddhism, Taoism. And this, to me, was an opportunity to really slow down, to really discover what it was like to be rather than do. And I really felt every day that we had the opportunity, I mean, not just to share as friends, but as spiritual companions, this incredible journey, the days were long and yet so short, but the walking, the things, the processes that go on in the mind are really incredible. I mean, and I think the three of us were able to express those things in the moment, that we would never have had the opportunity to express any other way. So whatever was bubbling up, whatever was coming up in the mind, we had an opportunity to express that. Yeah.
Yeah, we were really fortunate as three friends that we really walked the same. And I don't know, Dan, like you probably noticed when you were on the Camino that you meet people, you meet wonderful people along the way, and you're able to walk with some people, but not able to walk with others simply because you have a different pace. And for three friends, we all had the same pace, which I thought was incredible. I'd never thought about it until we'd actually started doing it, and just felt so fortunate that we were like so compatible, even in the rhythm with which we moved.
I know. I remember when I came upon you, it was outside of Astorga, actually. So perhaps it was the day after. Yeah, you received the hat. And
right.
I sort of walked up, and immediately I came upon you. I could see that there was a tightness to the group, that here were three fellows very comfortable in one another's company and very welcoming also to those other pilgrims on the Camino. You could just tell, here's three guys who will welcome you. And you know, that's why I said, hola. And you said,
hola,
hey,
yes.
Yeah, that didn't sound very Spanish. And we got to know each other famously of course, which we'll get to. Let's take a step back, though. You're in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. Where did the idea come from to walk the Camino?
Oh, the idea, I really don't know where it came from, Dan, but it's been with me for a long time, 14, 15 years. And I've been trying to think, where that, who planted the seed. And the earliest recollection I have is discussing the Camino with an old teaching friend of mine, and standing around and saying it would be a real nice way to walk into retirement, to make that transition from a working life into a retired life. And that would have been easy 14 or 15 years ago. So it must have just come into in a conversation at some point around that time.
For me, a couple of years ago, I was living in Ireland, and there's a very strong connection with the Irish people to the Camino. They've been walking the Camino for many thousands of years. But a friend of mine, a workmate, she was telling me about a journey that her mother had made a number of times and was going to make again, called the Camino de Santiago. I knew absolutely nothing about the Camino, never heard about the Camino. But from that moment on, from the moment she talked about the Camino, I seemed to just be stumbling across references to the Camino. I went on, all of a sudden the Camino is online, all of a sudden people around me are talking about the Camino, and it just seemed to all connect and line up to the moment when we actually made the journey.
It's funny, I in the pilgrim's office, when I was waiting to get my Compostela, a little Irish nun came up to me and said, "Where are you from?" And I said, "I'm from Sydney, Australia." And she said, "Whoa, you've come all the way over here." And I said, "Oh, yes, it's just been absolutely wonderful, one of the highlights of my life." And she said, "Where did you start?" And I told her that I had started in Sahun. And you walked the first 2 days from Sahun to León across the plains. It's flat, and there's not a tree on the plains. And as far as the eye can see, not one single tree. And that little nun said to me, "Dan, that's because they're all lying at the bottom of the ocean off Ireland and Scotland, because they pulled down all those trees to build the Spanish Armada." And I wonder if that's why the Irish have a connection to the Camino, because the Spanish Armada, where they pulled all those trees, are lying off the coast of Ireland and Scotland. Isn't that a yarn?
Well, that is a yarn, but certainly the roots of the Irish people are in Spain. Now when they do DNA testing, they find that the roots of the Irish people are in Iberia. Mainly in Basque country. So there is definitely a not only a spiritual connection, but a genetic connection to Spain.
You said something beautiful before. You said the days were long, but yet very short. So can I ask you first, Miles, what was your highlight of your Camino?
Well, I would say the absolute highlight for me was coming into Santiago. We had been separated, Doug and Kevin and I, for a day. Doug had hurt his leg, and was in Santiago. And we got into Santiago. Kevin and I went to the cathedral, which was a wonderful experience. And then we found ourselves lost in Santiago, trying to connect with Doug. But I think the highlight for me was actually Doug, we talked, we were texting back and forth, was actually for the three of us to come together in Santiago at a particular corner near a pension, and just to be, to have that camaraderie come together in that moment where the three of us were at that destination. Yeah. That was a highlight for me, absolutely.
Doug?
Yeah, that truly was. And I think besides that, the only thing that I can really think of, Dan, is when you walk with friends, with fellow pilgrims, and you leave yourself open to everything and anything, and the highlight for me was just, you know, always laughing. And when we would say, well, around every corner and through every door, you never know what to expect. Just, you know, the highlight was always finding that there was an adventure around those corners and through those doors, and just opening yourself up to that kind of experience.
And you were very good at it, let me tell you. Now, I remember, Miles mentioned that you didn't quite make it to the end with your comrades, and we'll get to that in a moment. But I remember a discussion that Miles, you and I and Kevin had on the second last night, and we talked about how you would explain the Camino when you returned home, what you would make of it in terms of being able to explain it to other people. Have you been able to make sense of it all, do you think?
Well, I mean, I will say that absolutely not. That is a work in progress. Every day, I will say for sure, every day, I revisit the Camino. Every day I experience something different, and I am still at a loss really to explain the experience. It's impossible to explain it to anyone who has not traveled the Camino or has not traveled as a pilgrim. I am at a total loss for words.
Doug, have you been able to make sense of it? Have you been able to reconcile what it meant to you?
No, it's you know, it's just I've been burnt by the sun. I've, you know, the Spanish, the dust of Spain is, you know, it's in my pores. But I can't explain it. It's just it's an experience, and it's just something that people have to do. You know, you can look at the photographs and talk about them and try to, you know, share a moment with people, but it's truly something you have to live.
I remember sharing a bottle of local wine with you in Villafranca. and we joked that night that maybe we wouldn't go back a changed man, but we would definitely be going home a better man. And I wonder, if you would agree, had you achieved that?
I might not be the right person to ask, Dan, but you know, in my heart, I believe that I'm a much better man for having experienced it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just something where you worry less, you a lot more just rolls off of you. You have this sense of accomplishment, this sense of stepping out into the world. It's almost like a little bit of a rebirth, and you do come back a changed person.
There's no question, Miles.
I mean, I can say for me that the transition back to regular life to me has been very, very difficult. I have had a very difficult time reconciling myself with everyday life, with listening to the news, with trying to fit back into routine, and I think it's a dissonance that is speaking to me, that is saying, you know, there is something that you have to get right with your life. You know, there is something here that you need to, there is work that you need to do. Now, that's aside from the strength of the friendship that Doug and I have developed, you know, and the love that we've developed for each other, and that I think I extend to the world.
You know, something I've learned since I've arrived home, it's calling me back. Are you feeling the same?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Every day, you know, it's like there's a thread that just keeps tugging, tugging, tugging.
I know.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to be speaking in a couple of weeks with Arnold, a gentleman I met in Adura. He has walked it 19 times, and he's walked it from all over different parts of Europe, and he walks often for other people. And he gets a Compostela for them. Doug, you didn't finish. You you did a fetlock 24 hours out from the finishing line. Tell us, how was that experience? What did that mean to you?
Well, it was, you know, funny enough, I didn't get my Compostela. I thought I would be disappointed, but I really wasn't. I think that the experience along the way was just so grand that, you know, you learn that, you know, truly you learn that it's the journey, not the destination. Yeah. And that's what, you know, that's one of the things that it taught me. I just had a, you know, a great experience, and I would have liked to have finished, but I knew that my body wasn't going to allow that. And, you know, so you accept it, and no regrets. I'll go back, and I'm not necessarily, you know, going back to finish. I'm going back to share that, hopefully to share that experience with someone.
That's fantastic. I'm going to ask every guest on the podcast what advice you would give for someone thinking of doing the Camino. Miles, can I ask you?
Just do it. Just do it. Don't hesitate if you're called. I mean, you don't think about preparation. Don't get involved in the minutiae of having to train for 6 months or 8 months or a year or whatever. If you feel that call, if you feel that, just do it.
Yeah, I would agree. It's you know, don't put it off. You know, if it's calling you, then that's what you need to do. Go do it.
Yeah, and as I said earlier, it's calling us back.
It is.
Sure.
Doug, you've said you'll answer the call. Miles, what about you?
Absolutely. Yeah. I could do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, tomorrow I may decide that's it. I'm done. I'm going. And yeah, absolutely. But I will absolutely do it. I'm absolutely going back.
It's funny. Somebody said to me, you know, I started in Sahun, which is exactly halfway the Francis Camino. So I did about 500 Ks of 900 Ks or whatever it is. And someone said to me, will you go back and finish it? And I said, well, probably, but I doubt I'll ever finish my Camino.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, in a sense, is a euphemism for our overall pilgrimage, isn't it?
It is. It's our life. I mean, the Camino, I mean, I experience the Camino every day, and I'm sure you do. You know, the Camino hasn't left us and won't leave us and can't leave us. It's an integral part of who we are and our journey, and that includes our conversation tonight. That includes every day that we live. The Camino is there and is alive, and I think that's really a, you know, I'm a Buddhist. I'm not a Christian, but I think that's a very spiritual message. You know, Christ is alive. Our journey is alive. Every step that we take.
Yeah, it's like when we were at a service, a pilgrim's mass, and the service leader said that you don't walk alone. That you there's somebody who always walks with you, and I had a real sense of that. Miles alluded to, you know, a pilgrim angel, and there were just so many pilgrim angels along the way. It just seemed whenever there was something that you really required, there it was. Somebody presented themselves and were able to help you. And I'm thinking too that as a pilgrim, you open yourself up to that. You open yourself up, you present yourself in a different way. You don't try to do everything or handle everything yourself, but it's a way of presenting yourself to the world. And I think I do that more now that I'm back in my regular routine. I don't try to be the authority. I'm more open. I listen more. And try to speak less.
Well, I hope our paths cross again, Doug and Miles, be it on the Camino or elsewhere. And I wish you all the very best and blessings on your pilgrimage, no matter where it takes you. Thank you so much.
Amen. Amen, Dan. Buen camino.
Yeah. Yeah, buen camino, Dan. We'll see you on the path.
Lots of love to you.
You too. That's Doug and Miles, Doug Proch and Miles Murphy from Winnipeg, Canada. I'm Dan Mullins. We've shared there with you some of our stories from the Camino de Santiago, the second of many podcasts, My Camino, the podcasts. Thanks for listening. Buen camino.